Scripture reading for this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Before I read the passage, if you have your Bible, you might want to turn to chapter 8. I just want to point out a couple of things to set the context of this passage of Scripture. This is chapter 8, which follows chapter 7 and 6 and 5. They're all together. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. So in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, Jesus came down from the mountainside. So he had just delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And it says, large crowds followed him. Then the next several verses are about healing, are about Jesus performing miracles, about amazing things happening at the power of his touch. People were healed. Large crowds came not only to hear his amazing message about the kingdom of God, but they came to experience his presence and his power. So all that's happening in chapter 8, and we get to the last verse of the chapter, and it says, a whole town of people came out to meet Jesus and demanded that Jesus get out and not come back. Wait, that doesn't sound like what happened at the beginning of the chapter. So something in this chapter flipped. At the beginning, everybody was, yay, Jesus, wow, this is amazing stuff. And at the end of the chapter, oh, Jesus, get out of our midst. So the verses that I'm going to read from the middle of chapter 8 help explain that flip. So here's what it is. Matthew 8, verses 18 through 27. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Well, another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Then he got into the boat with his disciples and they followed him into the boat. And suddenly, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. This is the word of God for the people of God. So Jesus and his disciples were about ready to climb into the boat and head across the lake. But before they could leave shore, Jesus had two people come up to him and ask about being his follower. And he explained to them the seriousness of that desire, the seriousness of what it meant to be a follower of Christ, the seriousness of genuine faith. And then he set sail with the disciples in the boat together with him, and soon a terrible storm blew up on the lake, threatened to sink the ship. Jesus commanded the wind, commanded the waves, commanded the storm to be still, and everything immediately calmed down. Think about those two scenarios. The two men who said, I will follow whatever you say, wherever you go. Okay? And Jesus explaining what that meant. And then the storm following whatever Jesus commanded it to do. The disciples, when the storm calms down, explain exactly what this flip is all about in Matthew chapter 8. Who is this man that even the winds and the waves Here's the key: obey him. Jesus knew for us how difficult obedience is. That's why he told those two men who wanted to follow him, "Are you sure you know what you're asking? Really?" Because one of the things that makes our faith hard is this idea of obedience. A great teacher of the law comes to Jesus. A great teacher of the law who's well respected in the community. A great teacher of the law who enjoys the comforts of life, has a roof over his head, has a bed to sleep in, has plenty of food to eat. A teacher of the law comes up to Jesus and says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, "Really? You know what you're asking? Think about your life. If you follow me, I'm going to tell you that animals have it better than I do." Followers who are serious in their faith and do what I tell them to do are going to be up against some tough choices. Jesus understood that one of the most difficult things about our faith is it requires obedience. We have a choice as human beings, whether to obey or not to obey. A tornado has no choice. A tornado doesn't have to make a decision. A tornado spins up just by its nature because a warm front and a cold front meet, because the atmosphere is full of energy. There's a lot of reasons why tornadoes spin up, but they're just following their nature. They don't have a choice. Different from human beings, we have a choice. It's easier for Jesus to tell a tornado to sit down and be still and it does what it tells him to do than it is for a human being to do what Jesus tells us to do. So obedience is really difficult. There are people who do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God, do not believe in Jesus as the Lord, do not believe in Jesus as Savior, and yet they do believe he was a great teacher. Which makes absolutely no sense to me. Because what does a teacher do? A teacher gives instructions, right? And what are instructions about? Our instructions are meant for you to follow. And so if you think Jesus is a great teacher, then you think his teachings are great, and you think the instructions he gives are right on point. And this morning, this passage of Scripture is telling us it's way easier to believe than it is to follow and be obedient. Jesus teaches love your enemy. That's not easy. Jesus teaches us to sell all you have and give it to the poor. That's not easy. Jesus says if someone forces you to carry their burden a mile, you offer to carry it too. If someone punches you on the right cheek, well, turn to them the left cheek. All that's hard. Those are teachings of Jesus. When the teacher of the law came up to Jesus and said, "I'll follow you wherever you go," Jesus said, "Wait, you don't know what you're talking about. Because this obedience thing is hard. It's hard to be obedient and follow the rules." Becky and I have been going to this place in Tennessee to play golf for 15 years in a row. And we love going there. It has 5 golf courses, and we play them all, and it's just a wonderful place. When we first started going there, there was a 2-lane highway that left the interstate and went 5 miles up to the little town where these golf courses are. Well, in the last couple of years, they've experienced so much growth and are planning for so much growth that they turned this two-lane little highway into a 7-lane road that goes from the interstate all the way up to this town. 7 lanes. And when you finally get to the town, there's a brand new police station right there. The speed limit going into that town on the 7-lane highway is 30 miles an hour. You know how hard it is to drive 30 miles an hour when you've got seven lanes? I had to set my cruise control every day at 30 because there's just no way I could keep my foot from the accelerator. I share that with you because in this journey of faith, the road we travel on has some limits. But Jesus is not the heavenly cop that's looking to give us a ticket. And yet, obedience is still important because it's our spiritual identity. It's our faith ID. It proves that we know him, and it proves that our faith is genuine. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, right at the end of chapter 7, right before this chapter 8 of Matthew, Jesus says this, and this is the Message translation. He says, knowing the correct password, saying, Lord, Lord, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere. What is required is serious obedience, doing what the Father wills. So the Sermon on the Mount, lots of instructions about life in the kingdom. And then at the end of the sermon, he said, listen, just because you say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean you're in. You need to do what the Heavenly Father wills. 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, hundreds of his followers gather just to the east of Jerusalem, just across the Kidron Valley. And just as Jesus is preparing to ascend from earth back to heaven, he gives these final words. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Think about that. Think about those two words, all authority. Jesus has all authority. Therefore, this is his words, therefore, I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to enroll more people into the kingdom. And I want you to do it in two ways. One is, I want you to baptize people. Well, what is baptism? Baptism is that outward symbol that people have agreed to believe. They have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the easy part. Baptizing people, that's the easy part. Believing is easy. But the other thing Jesus says, not only baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but teach them to obey everything that I've said. Teach them to obey all the commands. That's the hard part. Believing is easy. Faith is not. And obedience is part of what makes faith hard. We've been working this summer, and we're going to continue to work for the next few weeks, on understanding those difficult pieces of our faith and what it takes not only to recognize them but then to overcome them. Because it's easy to believe, but it's hard to live out what we believe, and that's what faith is. Believing is not the same thing as having faith. One is about accepting the truth, and the other is about applying that truth to who we are and how we live. And so we're looking at the hard parts about staying faithful, persevering, about repenting and changing, about surrendering and obedience, about making sacrifices for the sake of the gospel, about suffering for righteousness, about being holy, about living with unanswered questions. The good news, in spite of the difficulties that our faith often presents, the good news is that the Bible gives us a pattern to help us over these hard parts, help us through them, help us own them, and then deal with them. And that pattern we've been discovering is about affirming what's positive and godly about some of our struggles, but also what's real about our hesitation in those areas, and then hearing the invitation and responding with action. So it's affirmation, hesitation, invitation, action. That's the pattern that we see. And that's when we see it again in this situation where Jesus is calling his followers to take seriously this idea of obedience when it comes to faith. In the Old Testament, King Saul was Israel's first king. Samuel was the prophet at that time. God had told Samuel, "I have found a man who I want you to commission, I want you to ordain as the first king of Israel." It's Saul. And so in a big pomp and circumstance ceremony, Samuel marches Saul out in front of the whole nation and says, "This is God's choice for your king." They have a great ceremony and off they go into the world of being a nation led by a king. But Saul, even though I think his heart was in the right place, because he wanted so much to make sacrifices to God and to worship God and to kind of tried to do everything he could to be on the right side of God, he didn't obey God. Samuel would say, "This is what the Lord would want you to do," and then Saul wouldn't follow those instructions. And so Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel says this to Saul, "To obey is better than sacrifice. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, Saul, God has rejected you." And so that begins the end of Saul's reign as king, and we know who's next. God picks a man after his own heart, King David. Probably the greatest king Israel ever had. Except David wasn't perfect. And this obedience thing was hard for David too. We get to the New Testament. Jesus talked about to his disciples how it was important for them to obey him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "If we obey God, then we are sure that we know him. And if we say that we know him, but do not obey his commands, we are liars and there is no truth in us." That's a pretty sobering verse. I'm sharing all of this because I want to make the point, if we don't understand anything else about this morning, that obedience is just difficult. It's hard. Question is that we want to answer in the next few minutes is why. Why is it hard, and how do we do a better job? How do we overcome what keeps us from obeying the commands, the word of the Lord? So here we get into the pattern: affirmation, hesitation, invitation, and action. So let's start with affirmation. What's the greatest command of all? Since we're talking about being obedient, obeying the word of the Lord, what's the greatest command of all? What does Jesus say is the greatest command of all? Yeah, love God. Exactly. Love God with your whole heart, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The two, sounds like two, but they're really one. Loving God, loving your neighbor, loving yourself. The whole command is about love. When God calls us to obey, he's calling us to love. To love him and to love others. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 40, that the whole law and all of the prophets' teachings depend on these commands: to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything that's in the Word of God depends on us obeying the command to love one another. John 13, 34, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." I mean, it's not rocket surgery. It's simple. The ultimate command from which all the other commands flow is love one another. So you think that would be easy. Doesn't everybody want to love others? I mean, that's what makes the world go round, right? Is we love one another. Sounds so perfect. Why is it so hard? Why do we have a difficult time with it? What's the hesitation? Well, the hesitation is that for us to love, for love to mean anything, or for love to mean everything, if you want to put it that way, we need to be free to choose to love. And so God has wired into our nature as human beings what we call free will. We have the freedom to choose. Tornadoes don't have the freedom to choose. The wind and the waves, they don't have freedom to choose. But you do, and I do. And that's what makes love powerful. The only thing, the only reason why God has to command love, you would think that, wait, that doesn't make sense. He's commanding us to love. Well, he has to because we have a choice. We have a choice to love or not to love. Some think, when they think of the word obedience, that it means giving up our freedom, right? That obedience and freedom are opposites. Okay, you have complete freedom. Just, you know, obey these 400 rules and everything will be all right between you and God. Well, of course, that doesn't sound like free will. So it makes no sense that God would give us free will just to take it away by forcing us to do this or not to do that. But that's where the beauty of obedience comes in. God never takes away our free will, never. Our obedience is a choice that we make. And listen to this. When we choose to obey, it's a gift that we give to God. And if you think about it a little deeper, it's the only gift that we can really give to God. I mean, he's the creator. He's the master of the universe. The psalmist said that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides, you know. He has everything. He has the whole world in his hands. What could we give him? Well, there's only one thing. And that's to choose to obey the command to love, which means to love him and love one another. That's where the hesitation comes in. It's hard to surrender our free will to do God's will. That second man that came to Jesus after the teacher of the law, then this other man comes up and says, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me, and it really doesn't matter what comes next. Just the fact that he said, but first let me, I've got something else to do. You know, this is all about me right now. It's not about you, God. It's about me. So first let me do this. Now, burying your father was a very important and respected both religious and social moray. It was important for him to do that. There's no question about that. But the fact that he said, but first let me, yeah, I'll follow you, but first let me. Anything that comes before our obedience to the Lord gets in the way of following Jesus. And that's what he was trying to say. He wasn't being insensitive to the man when he said, you know, let the dead bury their own dead. I mean, that's, you know, he was just trying to say there's something more important even than that. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified, he gets to a place of surrender. We know that famous phrase where he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Right? He says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will be done, thy will be done. But Jesus didn't get to that point of surrender before hours of prayer and spiritual struggle, and Luke says even sweating great drops of blood. It was so intense for him, that struggle, to surrender. And if it's hard If it was hard for that perfect God man, Jesus, it's hard for us. It's hard to obey because we have to turn the authority over our life over to the Lord. And that makes faith hard. We have to turn the authority of our life over to God. And that makes faith hard. Familiar with the conversation that happens between parents and little children? Okay, Johnny, it's time to clean up your room. But why? Well, because your room is a mess and it's hard to get through, and I won't want you to hurt yourself when you're walking through there. But why? Well, because it's a good habit to have, to keep your toys picked up and your bed made and your room cleaned up. But why? Well, because those good habits early on lead to better habits and good habits when you're older. It's a good thing to do. But why? Well, eventually, it wears the parents out, right? And we get to the final line. And what's the final line? Because I said so, that's why. Which actually is a good exercise in relinquishing authority. It's a good exercise in surrender. Early on, it's okay to surrender to the authority of parents. And as children of the Heavenly Father, He'll give us all the reasons why. Some of them may not make any sense to us. Some of them we can't comprehend. But it's okay to get to the point where we say, okay, because you said so, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Affirmation, hesitation, and the invitation is just basically to give up the struggle. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are tired of carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. Take my yoke, put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit. And you will find rest, for the yoke I will give you is easy. The load I put on you is light. Give up your struggle. Come and experience rest and peace. Quit wrestling with who's in charge in your life, and just let God be in charge. Paul wrestles with that in Romans, two beautiful chapters, Romans 7 and Romans 8. Romans 7, Paul says, listen, I don't do what I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. You can hear him wrestling with that obedience issue. And at the end of chapter 7, he says, who's going to help me with this problem? And the first verse in chapter 8 is, thanks be to God who helps me overcome this obedience problem, this hard piece of our faith, because he loves me and I can surrender. He says Jesus Christ rescued him from his struggle. Paul said he's no longer a slave to sin and the law because Jesus made him a child of God. As a child, he's no longer a slave. He no longer suffers under the heavy slavery yoke of obey or die. Instead, as a child, he obeys the Heavenly Father. He calls him Abba in chapter 8 of Romans, Daddy. And he loves him out of a child's childlike love. And so the obedience that we're called to as followers of Jesus Christ flows from a heart that loves the Father. And it brings us freedom, true freedom. We don't have to be in charge of our life anymore. God is. And that brings us not only freedom, but joy. The Spirit who gives you life has set you free in Romans chapter 8. And continuing on in verse 21, the creation itself will be liberated and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. The invitation is come enjoy the freedom that obedience brings. The two aren't opposites. In our walk of faith, freedom comes from obedience. So what's the action? Affirmation is that God calls us to love him and love others. The hesitation is we have free will and it's hard to choose that. The invitation is if we'll surrender and give it up. There'll be so much joy that will come from that. There'll be so much freedom that will come from that obedience. So what do? Do you ever play the game Simon Says? You follow the leader. Those games that we played as kids, those are important. You listen to the instructions that Simon gives. Simon says, do this, you do it. You don't do it, you're out. Follow the leader. The leader jumps up and down, you jump up and down. The leader takes two steps this way. If you only take one, you're out. The action on our part is to pay attention to what the Lord says and what he's doing and follow his lead. We play Jesus Says instead of Simon Says. We play follow the Lord instead of follow the leader. That's our action piece in this thing we call obedience. And the reason that that's important for us is because it's not about us. All that's happening in the kingdom of God, it's not about us. It's not about me. And when we understand that it's not about you, that moves us in the right direction. In fact, right now, it's probably just a good idea to turn to somebody right next to you, look them in the eye, and say, it's not about you. Just look them right in the eye. Go ahead, turn to them and say that. It's not about you. Somebody needs to say it to me, Don. Somebody needs to say it to me. Yeah, that's right. That's our action piece. We start there. We understand it's not about me. It's all about God and him being Lord in my life. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, we thank you this morning for reminding us once again that the ultimate call for us to follow is a call to love. To love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, we ask that you help us to surrender to that call, to follow your lead, and to love one another as you've loved us. It's not easy. We don't claim that it's going to be easy. It sounds perfect, sounds wonderful, but we understand it's very hard. Because in order to love you, in order to love others, we have to make choices. And those choices are often difficult because it comes down to surrendering our will. It comes down to realizing that life isn't all about us. And so we pray that your Spirit helps us today. We're making a new and a fresh commitment to be obedient and to follow the law of love. That's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.